Welcome, Postcast listeners.
Good to see you, Tia. Nice to be back. We have been carried over for yet another week. I find that hard to believe, as I'm sure you do.
I know.
But we made it through another week.
We did. And looking forward to this one.
It's going to be a good one, yeah. I've got an interview this time with Ovid Nielsen. Ovid is a musician, singer, composer. He's interesting for a lot of reasons, but the main thing we talked about on the interview was his work on the Disney movies and cartoons that are released in Denmark, and when they're switched over to Danish, he does a lot of the Danish voices and singing. So he's a pretty interesting guy. So that's my interview.
Looking forward to that, Ray.
Good.
And there's also something that you should look forward to, because you know what we have this week?
Oh, do you have a surprise for me?
I do.
good.
And it's going to hopefully break you in two.
I always look for always look forward to surprises from you that might break me in two, but... There we go. Should we do some news?
We start with news, as always.
Always have some news. Okay. Our editor, Ben Hamilton, back at the Copenhagen Post, has pointed out that you are the brains of the operation.
Half the brain.
Well, let's test you then. Let's test that brain. Which country has got the longest coastline? Argentina, Chile,
ay caramba,
India, or Denmark?
Well, since this is a... show centered around Copenhagen and Denmark, I'm going to go with Denmark. Is that correct?
You are just... Ben's right. You are just so quick. Little old Denmark, thanks to its 406 islands, has a coastline that measures 7,341 kilometers. I don't know who measured it, but someone apparently did. Which is amazing when you think about the entire country is only 330 kilometers long.
Still, I mean, that's an awful lot of places to swim. And it really makes you wonder why they even bother building swimming pools. I mean, particularly when you factor in the long winters and the rainy summers, it's just not...
Well, for people like me, because I'm not swimming here. I don't care how hot it gets outside. The water is too cold. Too cold. You know those little things when you're in the water in Denmark and they feel like little stones under your feet? That's not what they are. They're parts of the male anatomy that have dropped off in the water.
You know what this means? Integration complete. You're a Dane now. Congratulations.
Still, all of this hasn't stopped developers from announcing plans for water parks over the last week. One in Aarhus and one in Copenhagen. They're going to be big, slippery, and wet. I know there's a film by that name we can't mention, we can't really talk about here, but... And besides, I mean, who says the best things in life have to be free?
Well, you know, I can latch on to that innuendo. How big is it really going to be?
How big and slippery? 105 meters long, to be exact. That will be the new water slide. 105 meters long. That's pretty long. In the how do you say that? You said that so well.
Yes, it's going to be at Vejlebyrisko.
Vejlebyrisko. Thank you so
much.
And that's
a complex in Aarhus.
That's near Aarhus. Yeah, that's just outside of Aarhus. It will be Denmark's second longest water slide. The second longest one. And it's believed they'll be open hopefully by 2020.
Okay. Well, all good things are really coming in 2020. I mean, Trump's presidency will end, hopefully. And we get a water slide in Aarhus. But what about the Copenhagen one? You mentioned something about
Yeah, meanwhile, the 840,000 square meter. Again, someone measured that. Not me. It's the Nordic Water Universe. It's in Høje-Taastrup, a suburb of Copenhagen. It will be the world's fifth largest indoor water park.
Wow. And how long do we have to wait for that one?
Well, we might have to wait a while. It's going to be built over five phases. It won't be fully completed until 2028. 2028, so I guess...
That's for our grandchildren.
Well, your grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, because I'm a little more mature than you. Anyway,
continuing.
So,
I would like to play an audio clip for you.
Okay.
It's going to be a very small audio clip, and you will have to guess who is speaking.
To hear a story told well. You see, I had a farm in Africa at the foot of the Ngong Hills. But it began before that. It really began in Denmark.
So, Ray.
Yeah?
Who do you think... that was?
I am not sure, but I believe it's one of the aforementioned Donald Trump's largest supporters.
What if I say it's quite the opposite?
Okay.
Does it help you then?
Yeah, okay. I think I know who it was, but go ahead.
All right. Well, it was Meryl Streep. Mm-hmm. And here she is playing the Danish novelist Karen Blixen. Mm-hmm. This was from the 1985 Best Film Oscar winner, Out of Africa.
Okay, I guess only when you live in Denmark did you realize how big a deal it must have been for a Dane to actually live in some hills.
Anyhow, here's another question for you. Okay. What do Karen Blixen, the legendary Broadway comedy star Victor Bohl, and murdered air traffic controller Peter Nielsen all have in common? Of course, besides being Danish.
See, this is one of those things that you do to me. I know. See, you think I don't know, but I do know.
Ray, you're half the brains. Yeah. You know this.
They're all going to be in a film.
Yes!
Yes, they're all going to be depicted in films. First off, Karen Blixen, Susanna Bier, she's just finished a huge success with The Night Manager. She's directing an entire series based on the book Out of Africa. And this might give a chance to actually set the record straight, as in Dennis Finch Hatton. I always have trouble with that name. But anyway, Dennis Hatton, he's played in the original film by Robert Redford. Well, Dennis was English.
Well, similarly, it will be interesting to see what happens when Victor Bohr's life story is adapted for both a film and an entire TV series.
We call him Victor Borge in the U.S.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. The Great Dane, right?
The Great Dane, absolutely.
The unmelancholy Dane.
Yeah.
The Oscar-winning Danish company M&M Productions will be producing this one. Mm-hmm. Now, the Danish comedian has always claimed that when he arrived to the U.S. in 1940, he didn't speak a word of English.
Really?
But his first wife was American, and they got hitched in 1933.
I'm skeptical about that whole not speaking English thing. But anyway, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he could use his very, all right, let's call it what it is, his really lousy English to explain why he took on his latest role. That is, if he wants to hold on to any of his Danish fans at all. I'm sure there must be one somewhere.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Both here and in California. The trailer has just been released for Aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a film coming out this year about the murder of a Danish air traffic controller. And since you mentioned Arnold,
yeah,
he has signed up to play the murderer.
I remember this story. I actually do remember this actually quite well. Vitaly Kalev, a Russian architect, blamed the Danish air traffic controller for causing the death of his family in a plane crash back in 2002.
Really?
Yeah.
What exactly happened?
Well, Nielsen, he was absolved of any blame, but that didn't stop Kaliyev from stabbing him to death right in front of his three children in a garden in his Swiss home.
Wow. I guess let's put pay to the sequel to Kindergarten Cub.
Jeez, dear. Anyway, Kaliyev served less than 2 years in prison. He remained unrepentant. He did what he said he had to do, and he also got a hero's welcome when he returned home to Russia, and he's since entered local politics in Russia.
And now Arnie's going to play him in a film that exaggerates the negligence of his victim.
Yep.
Maybe he should stick to playing psychotic androids.
You go with your strengths. I always say go with your strengths.
But he will be back.
Go with your strengths. Anyway, speaking of psychotic androids, Donald Trump is breaking a lot of eggs, and the rest of the world are actually having to learn how to walk on his eggshells.
Yep, and it's a tricky balancing act. I mean, you've got leaders who, above everything, want good trade relations with the U.S., but they also need to know the right time to take a stand and say, that is enough. That is painfully ridiculous. Or they're going to just lose support.
Well, interestingly enough, the British leader Theresa May pretty much did that in the same sentence, did two things in the same sentence last month. And, of course, we can always expect a similar stance from Lars Løkke Rasmussen, the Danish PM.
Speaking of, there's one area that Denmark's going to stand firm in for sure.
Okay.
And that's women's rights. I mean, it's 50% of the population, and quite frankly, they've had the upper hand since 1864.
Yeah, well, women, in my opinion, have had the upper hand since ever. But yeah,
and that's how it should be.
Okay.
On March 2nd, the Danes are co-hosting the newly established She Decides, which is an international conference for women's rights in Brussels with Sweden, the Netherlands, and, of course, Belgium. Mm-hmm. She Decides, which, I mean, it kind of sounds like a Maroon 5 song, but it's a direct response to the global gag rule.
Okay.
the global gag rule, which is the U.S. government policy to withdraw funding from organizations that support Planned Parenthood, contraception, and abortion.
You know, there are an estimated 225 million women across the world who do not have access to contraception, and over 800 women die every day in connection with pregnancy or birth. Every year, about 22 million unsafe abortions take place globally.
That's horrible.
Terrible.
And those numbers are real. So Trump had better get used to marches. I mean, his first full day in office on January 21st was marked by over 600 women's marches worldwide. And on Earth Day, on April 22nd, it will be the turn of the scientific community in Denmark to join millions across the world to register their protest.
You know, we should join in. I'm very much thinking that I'm going to participate in this anyway. My daughter's participated in the women's marches, and I think I want to participate in the science marches. We should join in and maybe try to get some interviews and stuff for the podcast.
I think that's a really good idea. We have to do that, Ray.
Yeah, I mean, the marches for science is a direct response to the removal of the term climate change from the White House's official website.
Of course, many are already knitting special brain hats to wear on the march, but there are currently no details on exactly where it will take place in Copenhagen.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Coming up, don't forget, all of this, all the information we talk about during the news and everything we talk about during the first part of the show is available at the Copenhagen Post website, cphpost.dk. Also, oddly enough, we still make a real newspaper, hard copy, that you can get every 2 weeks or so. And the new one's coming out very soon. So expanded information about all the things we're talking about and other stories about what's going on in Denmark. And
everything that we talk about here, we need your comments and support or critique on. So you can write us at podcast@cphpost.dk. And also, if you can, go into iTunes and leave us a review, because that helps us tremendously in coming up in the ranks and in delivering you better content.
That's
each
exactly
time.
Right. Speaking of good content, we've got an interview coming up in the next segment with Arvid Nielsen.
And after that, the surprise segment. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the CPH Postcast. I'm Ray Weaver, and today we're talking to Arvid Nielsen. Arvid is a renaissance man in Danish music business. He's a singer, composer, a dancer, and also the thing I found interesting is that he does a lot of work with Disney. So Arvid, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And what I'm going to ask you about today, that would be, we could talk about all of the stuff that you do, but one of my favorite things that you're sort of well known for is you're the Danish voice singing on a lot of the well-known Disney movies and films and cartoons and stuff. I mean, how did you find your way into that?
Oh yeah. Well, the short answer would be I have no idea.
Because that's isn't really
that the way with the music.
Yeah, that's the way it is. You know, I moved to Copenhagen in '92 and fairly quickly was involved in doing backing vocals on the Eurovision Song Contest, pretty quickly also the international one with a Danish contribution. And I don't know how it led into the whole Disney thing, but it sort of just, I think I got a call once or twice to do something on Hercules or one of those things back then. And as it is most times with these big features, featured Disney productions, it's a bunch of people. It's four or five males and equal number of women singing these things, depending of course on the production and what is required. So I just became part of that, which is, I know now, I didn't at that time. It's just a small select group of singers doing that work, and I'm just very fortunate to have been able to stick with it, you know.
Well, you're a trained vocalist, right? You went to school, you went to conservatory, I think?
Yes, I did, yes.
And so you, I mean, I've worked with you on different contexts, and you're a harmony singer and a lead singer, and because you're such a good English speaker, you've heard a lot of these programs originally, shows originally in English. Is it Is it disconcerting to you sometimes when you're doing the Danish version and you're thinking, well, that's not what they said?
I think, you know, the translators have become so really, really good at it. Mm-hmm. And they're doing a great job, mm-hmm. you know, by far most of the time. And with the Disney productions, those are not cheap productions. You have the TV series that go on and all of that stuff. And that's generally, they're pressed for money doing that. Mm-hmm. But with the Disney work, it needs to be, you know, right in the pocket. So they spend a little bit of time on those.
I know when I'm trying to work with you on other projects, when you're involved in a Disney thing, it's pretty time consuming. You guys put a lot of effort to get it exactly right.
Yes. Yeah, yes. You're working very hard. And I think also one of the reasons why it's a slick group, and I've been there for a number of years now, and so have many of the others, mm-hmm. and which seems like a really good idea in terms of production time and such, because you need to know what is happening and when it's happening when you're in the studio, because everybody comes very well prepared, mm-hmm. Of course we have to listen to the originals and get, you know, the sheets and the sheet music and everything, so we have to, you know, we have to know what the different harmonies are and be able to jump from one to another and so on and so forth. So the experience, the collective experience of all of these people working on those projects, not to mention the, you know, the directors who are just amazing people and so good at what they do. And the collective, you know, experience is something that I think is a significant, you know, contributor to the results that we are getting.
We'll move on to some of your other stuff real quick. But one question, I mean, you did say you mentioned Hercules. Just give me a quick, say, four other things that you've worked on, four other Disney's programs.
What's it called? Moana? Moana and Frozen. Mm-hmm.
That's the one. My son told me to ask you today. What part did you play in Frozen?
Well, actually, in Frozen, I'm just part of the backing vocals. So there's an intro song where these guys are, mm-hmm. Working the ice and that kind of thing. And there's a troll song in the middle of the, and we're doing those things.
Okay.
And I've been asked a couple of times, quite a few times, to do, end credit songs, but mm-hmm. they are mainly tenor voice work, and I'm a bass baritone, so that's not going to work for me. So those are some of the later, and of course now Beauty and the Beast, which is coming out. It has not been released.
I don't think it's been released.
No, I think it's in March.
March, yeah.
Yeah. And that's a phenomenal production. Cool. That's just a live action version of that story, and that's. It's great. It's absolutely beautiful.
We look forward to that. No, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your other work. I know that because we work together on this project, you're working very hard, spending a lot of time in Nashville, you know, doing the songwriting thing.
Yeah.
And that you're starting to, I can feel from some of your co-writers and some of the things that you're starting to do, what we say, you're starting to break through there. It's starting to happen, you know. But one of the things, of course, as you know, that's very interesting to me is that you do... a wonderful crooner show, wonderful Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, what was it about that particularly American music that appealed to you, though, those songs and the voices?
You know, that has with the crooner thing, mm-hmm. I've always loved that. Mm-hmm. I've always loved big band swing music and it just sits right with my voice. Mm-hmm. Me trying to sound like Stevie Wonder has always been ridiculous. Exactly. You know, I just can't do it. And I was hopeful for a number of years, but it just never happened, really. So now I've come to love where my voice is,
you have a phenomenal voice. I'm going to try. I don't know if I can this time, but I will tell you folks that. Arvid is one of the best singers I've heard in a long time, and extremely natural in either language. And you may not remember, but sometime in the 90s, you had almost a hit record there.
Actually, hold on now. That was in 89.
89.
Right? That was in 89.
You just look so young.
Thank you. I'm 28 in a couple of months, okay. So that's me. Yeah. No, in 89, yes, I released, that was a solo album back then. And yes, it had a few, huge huge
radio
hits. Yes, a lot.
So that was, you know, and that was like a little bit before my time moving here. And I didn't get here until 94, 95. And then, you know, once I got to know you and I saw your name, I was like, wait a minute. But because you know this, in the Danish culture, if you have a hit record, if you have something on the charts, especially at night in the pubs, in the nightclubs or whatever, at the end of the night, it'll pop up again. And everybody will sing along. And I'm like, exactly. Oh, that guy. So, yeah, I mean, so you've been in the music business. The point of all this is you've been in the music business a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And so the crooner thing, that suits you so well. But what was the decision about, okay, what was it that attracted you about American country music to have you take what seems to be a pretty good left turn and say, okay, I want to try to write this stuff?
Yeah. I spent some time in Tampa, Florida between 2007 and 2010. Whenever I was driving around in Tampa area, the only station I cared to listen to, discovered that, you know, the only station I cared to listen to was WQYK, which is Tampa Bay Country radio station. Okay. And I saw a couple of shows with Keith Urban in sort of an unplugged kind of setting, and the same kind of show came on a couple of weeks later with Brad Paisley. Okay. And that was it for me. Okay. Now, because I've been hearing, you know, Brad Paisley on the radio, and I was going, wow, that is some really phenomenal, you know, guitar playing, and this guy's good, and the lyrics are really, really great and a lot of fun. So, and when I saw him on that, you know, TV show and realizing, you know, that live thing and realizing he played all that stuff himself, I was just, I got to do this. Mm-hmm. At that time, I had not been playing guitar since I was 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. So I picked up the guitar at that time, and I'm still trying to figure out what's all about.
You're a pretty good guitar player. We work together, and you're a good player. So, all right, I know you're a busy guy, but I also know that you do help other people with productions, and you do help people with, and you're like every other musician in the world these days. It's all about the work. So do you have a website or a way that people can get in touch with you, maybe talking about producing some stuff for them or singing or anything like that?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ray. Yes, I do. That would be www, and it would be Arvid Nielsen in one word. Yeah. That's Nielsen.
Is that .com or .dk?
That's .com.
.com. ArvidNielsen.com. I'll put that up on the website as well. But as far as production, if you want a good demo, a good voice demo, Arvid's the guy to do it for you. But Arvid, thanks for taking the time to talk to us
today. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks.
So, Ray, we have arrived to the final part of our show.
The final part. Okay, this is not the penultimate. This is the ultimate. We're ready?
Yes, this is the surprise segment.
You're going to surprise
me. In which, each episode, we bring our partner, our co-host, our better half. Something funny. That can be a video, it can be a song, it can be a news article, it can be a teddy bear, something. But the surprise has to be genuine. Mm-hmm. The reactions have to be genuine.
Okay. I'm genuinely scared.
Do you know what you brought me last time?
I brought you a...
You brought me a recipe book.
A book, yeah, a recipe book. I thought it was interesting.
It was a little boring.
It wasn't funny, but it was interesting. I get you, you know?
Well, Ray, I hear you and I up your game.
Okay.
Since we were talking last time about integration and being in Denmark, and since we're both expats, especially you, I feel like you're more of an expat than I am.
Okay.
I want to test how well integrated you are.
Okay.
And we're going to do that today via your taste buds.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is...
Yeah.
I'm going to blindfold you with the help of our producer, Morten, here.
You're
going to
what?
We're going to blindfold you. And then we're going to serve you three different iconically Danish dishes, which you will have a couple of seconds to smell and then no more than 15 seconds to guess.
Okay. This is truly a surprise because there is no way that you can know how much I don't like putting things in my mouth when I don't know what they are. I don't like being given food when I don't like know what it is.
It's... Well, Ray, it is not up to you.
I had a feeling.
You're the hostage for the revolution now.
Okay. All right. Well,
so,
let's do it.
Get ready. So, Ray, We are back. You have been securely blindfolded.
Yeah, you realize that what you're about to do is outlawed by several international conventions.
You
being
look
tortured.
You look so beautiful.
Tortured.
So Ray is wearing a very, very thick scarf, and we've also put a little hat on top of him just so we can
I didn't know about the hat.
The fashion. Morten, our producer, is standing by with some cutlery.
Okay.
Now, we really try to put as many dishes in front of you as possible, but we've selected only a couple.
Okay.
So you have it all in front of you, and Morten will help feed you.
Nice.
The specific little Danish delicacies.
Okay.
Now, Ray.
Yes.
First of all, tell me what you smell. What you're sensing, how you're feeling. Talk to me. Talk to me.
I'm feeling very nervous, and I'm feeling like I smelled something like the glue that you use to lay a tile floor with, and then I also smelled cabbage, I think. And I really don't know past that.
Cabbage is good.
Yeah, but
Come on, give us a little smile. There you go. Okay, Ray gave us a little smile. Morten, our producer, is standing by. Now he will bite. Not bite.
No biting. No biting.
Use the knife this time.
No biting.
So Morten is cutting a little piece of our first treat and is going surely close to Ray. Ray, open up. That is it. And now, that's it. There you go. Tell me what you're sensing, what kind of tastes are swirling around in that great mouth of yours.
I'm sensing.
Yes, it's a staple.
It's a piece of rupel.
Yeah.
With
so far, that's correct.
With something on it.
You don't have a lot of time left. You know, you have 15 seconds.
It's rupel with. I detected some bean sprouts and. I don't know. I thought it had some onions, but.
Okay.
I don't know. Past that, I don't know.
So, altogether, you have no idea what it could be?
No, not at
all. Well, you were close enough with the rye bread.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very specific Danish open face sandwich, smørrebrød, called Dyrlands Natmel. Do you know what that means?
Oh yeah, I know what that means. Is that what that was? Okay, we have it all the time, but I didn't recognize the taste.
Well, that is Danish food 1, Ray 0.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think Tia 1, Ray 0.
Yeah. Well, by the way, tell them what is on the Dyrland Natmel, the veterinarian's night food.
Yes. So we have a piece of rye bread
it's in my beard.
On top of which we have leopostei, we have seltgød, we have sky. And we have some onion rings as well.
I did get the onions.
You did get the onions. So onions and rye bread, that was correct.
Okay.
Alrighty, but still, not a win. And we're going to item number 2.
Nice.
Morten is already ready with his 2 humongous knives.
Morten and knives are never a good combination, ladies and gentlemen.
Ray, open wide. That's it. Okay, Morten is coming, and in it goes. Chew a little bit. All right. What are you feeling, Ray?
That is a wonderful Danish pastry.
Uh-huh. But I have to be more specific. That was correct. I might give you half a point, but you have to tell me what it's called.
If I had to make a guess, the English translation, it's not a Kinnersnegl. It's not a snail.
No.
No.
There is no cinnamon in there.
The baker's bloody eye.
Okay, does it help if I tell you that it is sort of twirled together? Time is up. Ray, you are not very good at this, but we are having fun though, nonetheless, right?
I'm having a great time. This is the most fun I've ever had in my entire life.
It's called a frøsnapper.
Oh, it's a... Yeah. Yeah, now that you say that, I can... Yeah.
All right, well, 1.5 points. No, 0. No, half.
I got half a point.
All right, I'm getting too generous. And the third one is coming up now. Morten is really trying to take a big chunk out
Thank
of this
you,
one. It's... Ooh, that is... Ooh, that's a big one. Okay. Ray.
I'm going to hate
get,
this.
Get ready.
I feel it coming.
Get ready. That's it. Open up. Very good, and Morten is flying in. Whooped. Oh, it's, oh. Yes.
That is a Fleischgestei sandwich.
And that's it. Let us all cheer. Finally, Ray. See?
The if you more... bring the pig into the thing, I'm going to know what it is.
All right. Well, Ray, now you're allowed to take your blindfold off. And you're allowed to take a look at the plate in front of you and tell me how you feel.
Not as bad as I anticipated. I will tell you that I don't feel as bad as I thought I would. And I would have gotten the pastry with a couple of more seconds, but the Dear Lens Nut Mel is something that I don't really eat because I don't eat liver pastai, so I would have never gotten that.
No. You're not a fan of...
No, I don't like pate. No, I'm not a pate guy. But, gee, thanks for that. That was just a lovely experience.
I think it was a lot of fun. I think you've done well, considering. Mm-hmm. I mean, 1.5 points. That's pretty good out of three. I mean, you're 50% integrated. You know, yeah, so...
I'll stay right there, Grace.
No. You've done wonderfully. And thanks. Thank you so much for playing. I hope you got surprised.
I was surprised, and it was fun. Yeah. And I'm going to eat that sandwich, by the way.
Great. All right. Well, dear listeners, don't forget that we have a new surprise segment coming up on the next episode.
Oh, I'm going to get you better. It's going to be better next time.
Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes, and also you can see all our episodes via the paper's website, cphpost.dk.
.dk.
See you next time, Postcast
listeners.
I'm
Ray Weaver. That's Tia, my former friend. And we'll see you next week.
Yes. Tia Hoka. See you next week.